Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Wait, you're listening.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Radiolab.
Radiolab.
From
WNYC.
See?
Yeah.
And NPR.
It's time now to practice some very useful phrases. I'll say them first, you repeat, and we'll learn together. Let's begin.
This is Radiolab today. Translation.
It's time to begin.
We'll have 8 experiments in translation, transcreation.
Lesson number 1. The best poem was by my mother. Dukakarachnite por di mama. Now you try.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
Is that Doug?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So this episode was inspired by a guy named Doug.
Doug Hofstadter, professor of cognitive science, Indiana University, Bloomington.
You may know him as the guy who wrote Gödel, Escher, Bach, which was a hugely influential book in certain circles, published in, I think, 1979. But we actually got interested in him, thanks to our producer, Lynn Levy, because of an obsession of his, which predates that.
16. I was 16.
The year 1961.
I was taking a French literature class, and one day I came across this poem.
A tiny little poem that kind of sat right in the middle of the page.
Like a long, thin sausage, vertical, you know, 3 syllables per line.
So it was super skinny.
And 28 lines long.
And long.
And it was delightful. It was very cute and funny. I fell in love with the poem immediately and memorized it. I still know it by heart.
The poem is basically a get-well card. It was written by this guy, Clement Marot, who was a poet in the early 1500s.
At the court of a queen.
And he wrote the poem for this queen's daughter. She was 7 or 8, and she had gotten sick.
The flu or something.
And this poem was supposed to cheer her up.
And I thought it was very sweet.
Could you say it in French?
Yeah, let's just hear it first. Yeah.
Okay. It's called À une demoiselle malade, to a sick demoiselle, so to speak.
Sick young lady.
A sick young lady. Ma mignonne, je vous donne le bonjour. Le séjour, c'est prison. Guérison recouvrée, puis ouvrez votre porte et qu'on sorte vitement. Car Clément le vous mande. Va, friande, de ta bouche qui se couche en danger pour manger confiture. Si tu dures trop malade, couleur fade tu prendras et perdras l'embonpoint. Dieu te doit, santé bonne, ma mignonne.
Oh my God, you must have gotten so many chicks when you were 16.
I know, that was really
seductive.
Exactly the opposite. I wish.
Okay, so he reads the poem, files it away deep in the corner of his mind. Fast forward about 20 years, he publishes his first book. It becomes very popular, and the publisher decides to have it translated
into a number of languages, including French.
In that process, which took years,
it put me into the frame of mind of thinking, what kinds of crazy things can happen when you translate crazy texts? And all of a sudden, one day,
that poem popped into his mind.
And I said, ah, there's a challenge. Let's try to do this.
And when you say challenge, like, what was it?
What is the challenge?
Okay, what I meant was to
reproduce. So, here's the thing, he says, you got this poem.
Ma mignonne, je vous donne le bonjour.
And if you just focus on the words, it's basically just this guy talking to a younger girl saying, hello, my dear, I'm sorry you're sick. Being sick is like prison.
Le séjour, c'est prison.
I, Clément, wish you to open your doors, get out into the world.
Car Clément le vous mande.
Get out of bed, eat some jam.
Confiture.
So you don't look so pale
fat,
and lose your plump shape.
Et perdra l'embonpoint.
You know, it's sort of like, get better, here's to your good health.
Dieu te doit, santé bonne, ma mignonne.
But just saying those words in English misses the whole spirit of the poem.
The tone, the lightheartedness,
And this is key for Doug, it also ignores the poem's form.
It's wonderfully catchy.
Little sausage shape on the page, the fact that the lines
rhyme, you know, A, B, B, C, C, D, D. And the first line, ma mignonne, is identical to the last line, ma mignonne.
So it sort of has the feel of a palindrome?
It has the poet's name in the middle of the poem. Clément Le Vouxmonde. Oh, and I forgot. Did I say three syllables per line?
No, you didn't. Not yet.
Of course. Three syllables per line. I mean, that's crucial. And then also 28 lines long. So all of those things added up to a set of constraints, you might say, on me.
So Doug sat down and got to work and quickly became embroiled in the question of, like, how do you translate this poem? I mean, along the way, he even began to make little grids of possibilities for different lines of the poem. For example,
va friande de ta bouche qui se couche.
Like this line that basically says, don't wallow in bed.
I had a lot of possibilities, and I'll just read you the little diagonal display here. Instead of spurting blood in bed, instead of burping in your bed, instead of bursting out in bed, instead of lurking in your bed, instead of hurtling out of bed, instead of hurting there in bed, instead of squirming in your bed, instead of slurping slop in bed, instead of burning up in bed, instead of turning blue in bed.
On and on.
And I came up with, you want me to read my first translation?
Yeah, please.
My sweet dear, I send cheer, all the best. Your forced rest is like jail, so don't ail very long. Just get strong. Go outside. Take a ride. Do it quick. Stay not sick. Ban your ache for my sake. Buttered bread while in bed makes a mess, so unless you would choose that bad news, I suggest that you'd best soon arise, so your eyes will not glaze. Douglas prays health be near, my sweet dear. So
Clément is now Douglas.
Yeah, Clément became Douglas. And I like the word
jaunty.
But
the jam became bread, though.
Buttered bread. Yes, yeah. Well, I just figure jam and jelly, they are words, but the words represent concepts, and the concepts have a kind of a halo around them. I mean, when you talk about jelly, you're implicitly talking about bread and things that you spread it on.
Oh, how interesting.
Some people, like, just stick their fingers in jelly. No bread needed.
Okay, fair enough.
Feeling like he hadn't quite nailed it, Doug sent the poem to one of the guys that translated his first book into French.
Yeah.
A guy named?
Oddly enough, Bob French. And Bob was... and I said, hey, Bob, can you do it? And Bob said, well, I'll give it a try. Fairest friend, let me send my embrace. Quit this place, its dark halls and dank walls. In soft stealth regain health. Dress and flee off with me, Clement, who calls for you. Very different in tone and really quite marvelous.
He got the pale face in there. He got the jam. He put Clement's name in the middle.
But at the same time, it didn't have the lightness. The tone is much more ancient.
Which you could argue, well, it's an ancient poem. But Doug says, no, there's a bigger problem.
It was 30 lines long, so extra long. And 28 was a sacrosanct number.
Well, that's just two lines, though.
No. Clément Marot wrote a three-syllable poem of 28 lines that rhymed wonderfully, and the essence of his poem was a form rather than a message. That is, the message was get well.
Which is pretty simple, but Doug would argue, no, it was the form. That's what made the thing funny and charming, and so the question for him was, who could get the feel but nail the form? To make a long story short, he ended up sending the poem out to like 60 people.
Doctoral students, whom I sweet, I entreat, one regard. Oh, tis hard, dear recluse. Colleagues, friends, chickadee, I decree a fine day.
He even got his wife to do one.
Dart away from your cage and engage in brave flight so you might flee the croup.
That was all bird-themed.
Hope you swoop into ham, apple jam, and French bread.
Did you go running around from town to town saying, hey, I got a little poem. Anybody want to give it a translation?
I certainly did. I am a person of binges. This began a binge, you might say.
And that binge ended up becoming a 700-page book filled with translations of this poem.
Go ahead and read the best one now. This is the best one.
Yeah, right. No, this is not the best one.
It
this
is the
just
best
one. No, stop it. Okay, here
He's
we
not
go.
Gonna read it.
Okay.
This is also one of his, but like the 20th one he did.
Pal petite, gal so sweet, hug from Doug. Some dumb bug dragged you down. Zap that frown. Feel the urge bugs to purge. From the scourge, you'll emerge in a trice. Sound advice from ahem, Doug slash Clem. So smash flu. Come, yoo-hoo. Come, yoo-hoo, live to chew. Sheets, eschew. Sweets, let's chew. Pop a tart. Make your heart palpitate. Clem's mandate. Sure hope God cures your bod. Head to feet, palpitate.
Sure hope God cures your bod.
How could you not I must admit it's humorous.
Yeah. Although not the best, he says.
I do want to get to my mother's translation because my mother's was somehow... I'm going to have to look it up here. Where was it? Where in the world was it? This book is long and complicated. And
this one from his mom, he says, came along years after he started.
Here it is.
And he thinks it might be the winner.
Hi, toots, get well. Hospital's prison and prison's hell. Get well, flee your cell. Clements orders in a nutshell. Go pig out. Ope wide your mouth. Keep those sweetmeats going south. Unless you're hale, you'll turn pale. Lose ooh-la-la that wiggles your tail. God restore good health to you, my little flower, mon petit chou.
Wow, that's cool.
Notice that she doesn't begin the poem and end the poem with the same line. She doesn't have 28 lines. She has maybe about 16 lines. She doesn't pay any attention to syllable count.
You must have hated this one.
I did. My first reaction was, oh, well, no, Mom, come on. What are you... Come on, didn't you pay any attention to the form? And she said, I did what I wanted to do. This is my feeling, you know, just that's what I did. And actually, you know, I have to say it has stood the test of time. It has some kind of pizzazz that no other one ever had.
But if she didn't respect the form, she didn't do the syllables, she didn't rhyme it the way it's supposed to rhyme, she didn't give you 28 lines, she even like halved that practically. Mm-hmm. Is that a translation then, or is that just a mom?
Let 100 flowers bloom. As I got more and more deeply into this poem, my philosophy started to become Chairman Mao's statement, let 100 flowers bloom. In other words, you can look at it from so many angles, and each new angle enriches it and makes it more fun.
All right, but you can't read 100 versions of every poem that you want to read.
Okay, I agree. You're right.
It does make me question, though, the rules of engagement in a way.
There are no rules. There are no rules. It's all informal.
Okay, but there's jam in one of the translations and ham in the other. And they're like, they're factually different food substances. Somehow, like, the facts of the poem shouldn't be negotiable, should they?
Well, what do you mean by a fact? I mean, a fact about the poem is that it was written by somebody in French. It's not in French anymore.
Wait, but now here's what Jared, I think, was really wondering is the mission, we thought, was what was he saying, not... What do we make of what he's saying? What are the flavors of what he's saying? What are the variants of what he's saying?
And even beyond that, like, isn't the expectation that you as a translator are giving me him? Like, this man is lost to time, and now suddenly I get to experience him. But if 100 flowers are blooming, that somehow feels like I'm not getting him at all.
Obviously, you're getting to the question of what is translation and can it be done? My feeling is that... even though these translations that we've heard are all very different, they all show something about Clément Marot.
Doug's basic point is that, like, any person is kind of a universe. They're too big to comprehend in their entirety. And so any translation of, say, a poem or whatever is only going to get you a tiny piece of that person, a tiny refraction.
I mean, look, we have one photograph of Frédéric Chopin. One photograph.
And in that picture, he's scowling.
What did Frédéric Chopin really look like? What was his smile like? You know, you look at a photograph of Chopin and you say, oh, this is what Chopin looked like. Well, no, Chopin looked like many things. Even the very day that that photograph was taken, he had thousands of different expressions on his face. But then what about a year earlier or 10 years earlier? I mean, knowing Chopin is a very complex thing. It's not one thing. It's a... millions of different things that are united by analogy into something that we refer to as one thing.
We should say we looked into it, and there are actually two pictures of Chopin. but he's kind of scowling in both, or you can't really tell in the second one. It's too disintegrated, but no smiles.
Coromegdano ka foro, iya iya yo. Foro kono mishu kumbe yeni no, iya iya yo. Mumu yan fe, mumu mu yen fe, yan mu yen mu fambe, mumu. Coromegdano ka foro, iya iya yo.